We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Man, talk about having church and worship. Amen. What a great time of singing and rejoicing. And we certainly have a platform now to go to God's Word. And I'm going to ask you to do something this morning I don't normally do, which is turn to three places. I told you there's 550 passages on heaven. We got to start working through some of these. Say amen. Amen. All right. So just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All right. I don't want to send you on a wild goose chase. All right. I just want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're going to stay in 2 Corinthians because the other place I want you to look at is in 2 Corinthians. It's chapter 12. All right. And then a little while later, if you want to find John chapter 14, okay, if you want to turn there, you can get all three of those places marked, and we're going to be headed there in just a few moments. Maybe you're like me, and how many of you like to read a book or watch a movie, and you want to get to the end to figure out what's going to happen? Can I see your hand? You're about midway through, and you're like, all right, what happens? Who did it? Who killed who? Who dies? Who wins? How does this whole thing work out? But sometimes, you know, there are certain individuals that God brings into your life to grow you. Say amen. And you tell them, now, listen, I haven't seen this movie yet, so don't what? Spoil it for me, right? Don't ruin it for me. And they're like, oh, yeah, he gets married to the other lady. And you're like, what did I just say? Right? Oh, he dies in the end. Oh, sorry, you didn't know that? Sometimes there are people who will spoil it for you, and you ruin the movie or you ruin the book, but I want us to know today is what I call a spoiler alert message, okay? This is a spoiler alert message because what we're going to do this Sunday and the next several Sundays is we're going to skip over a lot of information that's in the Bible, and we're just going to get to the end and see how it all works out. Who's with me? Amen? So we're just going to kind of go on a spoiler alert journey today. We're just going to kind of skip over some stuff that's in the Bible. I know some of you are like, I want to know all about that stuff. Well, you keep coming. I'll get there. All right. But today we're going to kind of skip over some of this and get to heaven. And one of the reasons people are so interested in how it all ends is because they know it's all coming to an end. They know it's all coming to an end. They just don't want to think about it. I mean, you don't want to think about how it's going to end or when it's going to end. Every second, three people die worldwide. 250,000 people by the end of this day will have slipped off into eternity. 250,000 people a day worldwide slip off into eternity. And unless Jesus returns, we as believers are going to die. And so we wonder, what about heaven? It's comforting in your own little mind, if you think, well, you die and that's it, it's over. There's no God, he doesn't exist. Well, if you want to carry on with the ostrich mentality, good luck with that, okay? All right? There is an eternity, there is a heaven, there is a hell. Amen? Daily Bread printed an article several years ago called, Are We Ready for Heaven? And Maurice Irwin said this, that only 34% of American people who call themselves Christians attend church at least once a week. Isn't that shocking to you? It says this. He goes on to write, we sing songs like, when all my labors and trials are over, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory or heaven for me. He then says this, unless our attitudes toward the Lord and our appreciation of Him change greatly, heaven may be more of a shock than a glory. Heaven may be more of a shock than a glory. You see, we can't make heaven be what we want it to be, all right? And some of us are trying to recreate heaven here on earth. We're trying to reproduce what only God could create. Please understand this, all right? When you die, you're going to one place or the other. You believe that? Okay. Our goal, our hearts, our passion here at Faith Baptist Church is to make sure that as Brother Jim Duke was singing, and as we were singing earlier today, that we are going to where? Let's all say it. Heaven. Okay? Because the truth of the matter is this. A rich person died, and the question was asked, well, how much did he leave? And the answer was all of it. He left all of it. The great Egyptian king who was buried many years ago said, when I die, before I am entombed and placed into the great pyramids, you shall march my body through the streets in a coffin with holes cut, with my arms pushed through, so that the world may know that this is exactly how I entered and this is exactly how I leave, with nothing in my hands. With nothing. You're leaving it all. And so if we try to recreate heaven here on this earth, we're going to be greatly disappointed. Our kids are going to hurt us. Our spouse is going to hurt us. Your riches, like the Bible says, are going to get wings and what? Money only ever says one thing, my friend. Toodaloo. Toodaloo. That's it. I want us to get this and get it in our hearts that heaven is what God intended for it to be. It will serve the purpose for which it was created. And church, we will not be disappointed. Amen? We will not be disappointed. Heaven is going to be exactly what God intended for it to be. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that all that we need to know about heaven is found in the Scriptures. Everything we need to know that God wanted for us to know is found in the Bible. But the reality is, all that we may want to know does not always get answered the way we like. How many of you are a detailed person? Can I see your hands? You're the detailed person. You've already come in and looked at stuff in here and went, who did that? And that's a little off, and I'm not sure the colors jive and the trim's not quite finished, and stop looking, okay? You're a detailed person. You look at something. How many of you are not a detailed person? You're just like, big picture, let me see it, okay? So big picture people, just say amen. Big picture people, you read stuff like we're going to read about today, and you're like, yeah, it's great. And all the detailed people say amen. All the detailed people are going to be like, well, I got to know about this, because if I don't know, and I got to... Listen, one of the great preachers, commentators, godly men of yesteryear, summed it up. His name is Richard Baxter. And he summed it up well when he said this: my knowledge of that life is small. The eye of faith is dim, but it's enough that Christ knows all and I shall be with Him. Amen? We're never going to figure it all out. We can't. We do not have the capacity. But what God wants us to know, what He intends for us to comprehend, has been laid out clearly in His Word. So if you are in 2 Corinthians, would you say amen? Amen. Now last week, we shared, beginning in 2 Corinthians 4, we started in verse 16 and dropped down in through chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, as Paul continued on his thought. Well, today I want us to just pick back up in 2 Corinthians 5, and I want to set the tone for where we're headed this morning. And so notice what Paul says to the Corinthian church here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the where? All right? For in this we groan. This is our desire. This is what we want. We're groaning. We're yearning. I went out of this place. I'm tired of everything here. We're groaning, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with the house, which is where? From heaven. Then he continues on the thought. It'd be good for us to read. He says, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. How many of you feel it's a burden to be in your body sometimes? Especially the older you get. Say amen. You get up, I mean, sometimes your back goes out more than you go out, right? So, I mean, just being in the body sometimes is like, oh, this body of mine, right? He says, we're burdened, and we're burdened. Notice, not for that we could be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of what? Life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of his Spirit. Now, it's interesting. If you go over with me to chapter 12, are you in chapter 12? All right, now go back to chapter 4. You have to. You got to see this the way it's written. If you don't, you're going to miss it. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I don't want to miss it. All right. Look what Paul says in verse 16 of chapter 4, because some of you may not have been here last week. He says, for the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed. How? Now, this verse right here is puzzling, and you think, Paul, what on earth do you mean by this? Look at verse 17. For our light affliction, Now, when you're going through the midst of a crisis in your life, it don't feel like light affliction. When you're getting treatment for cancer, it doesn't feel like light affliction. When you open up the mail and you've been served with papers for a divorce, that doesn't feel like light affliction. When you discover that your husband has a porn addiction, it doesn't feel like light affliction. When you find out that your daughter's pregnant out of wedlock, it doesn't feel like light affliction. When you can't get along with someone and you're fighting all the time, or your family's disintegrating in front of you, you don't feel like it's light affliction. Someone say amen. You don't feel like that. When you don't have enough money to pay the bills, it doesn't feel like light affliction. Paul getting his back ripped open with a cane 39 times doesn't feel like light affliction. But he says here, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, do not miss this, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Now, if you don't get that, it's hard to get what we're about to read. Now go to chapter 12. This is the writing of Paul. This is how he works. And sometimes we don't get it. So we're like, man, what? How does that work? And why could Paul, how could you say that? Because of what he says here in chapter 12, verse 2. Now he's speaking in the third person about himself. He says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such a one caught up into the what heaven? Please note that, because we're going to talk about the third heaven in a few minutes, all right? He was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Who does he say? God knoweth. How he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will what? Not glory, but... Remember chapter 4? But in my what? You know what Paul is saying? Listen carefully. If you could have seen what I saw, every crisis, trial, and burden you go through would appear and seem to you like a light affliction that's working for just a moment, but God's got something great and eternal planned in the heavens. Someone shout amen. Okay? Every pain, every problem, every hurt, every disappointment, every sorrow, God's working something out in that for His eternal glory, for you and for Him, and together in heaven we will be. Amen? Now, I want us to understand that these two passages give us a rich insight into heaven. They establish two what I call foundational principles concerning heaven, and they open up the understanding for us about not only how we should, you know, think by way of our understanding, but how we should feel about heaven. Last week we started with the idea that we should cultivate this heavenly mindset. We should get our minds on heaven, get our thinking processes on heaven. And then we should live in light of the fact that this world is not our what? It's not our home, okay? And if this world's not our home, and everything of eternal value, everything we love, everything we treasure is in heaven, what does that look like for us down here on earth? Because here's the truth, church. The world cannot fulfill the desire that God has placed in us for heaven. There is a longing in your spirit, whether you want to admit it, recognize it, or acknowledge it. There's a longing in your life. And here's what's absolutely insanity, okay? We have a longing. We have a desire, so we go get more stuff, and we stuff ourselves full of stuff. And that stuff leaves us wanting what? More stuff, and we get more stuff, only to want more stuff, because the other stuff we have is now old, and we need new stuff. And so we go after other stuff, and we keep stuffing ourselves full of stuff, and the reality is this, it never satisfies. Why? Because this world is not your home. And there's a longing, a burning in your heart that says there's got to be something else. There's got to be something better. I love what C.S. Lewis said. So potent. He says, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. I was made for another world. That's why some of you are sitting here and you're trying all of these things and it's not satisfying you. Why? Because there's only one thing that's ever going to satisfy you, an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ and longing to spend eternity with Him in heaven. That's it. And that's why, number one, I can tell us this morning, heaven is an actual place. Heaven is an actual place. Heaven's not a dream. It's not a vacation. It's not a fond memory. It's not a fun time. It's not a nice feeling. It's not an event. Heaven is a real place. And as I already told you, spoiler alert, heaven is not here on earth. It is not here. And you cannot create heaven. And some people work like slaves to create heaven. And they have to have all of these things to create this perfect little utopia. You cannot do it. So let's understand that there are actually, when the Bible talks about the word heaven, as you read your Bible, as you study the Scriptures, you come across the word heaven how many times? 550 plus. So there's meanings to those words, heaven or heavens. We need to understand that. I know you didn't come to go to class, but let's get some foundational understanding, okay? Amen? Write this down. Number one, there's the first of all what we would call the atmospheric heaven. The atmospheric heaven. This refers to the atmosphere and the air above us. The clouds, the heavens, talked about in Genesis and in many other passages. And here's a few of them. Psalm 147:8. Bible says, who covereth the heaven with what? Clouds. Who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. The prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 55 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, that makes sense, doesn't it? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways what? Higher than yours. And my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the, listen carefully, look on the screens, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, okay, and returneth not thither, but water the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the flower, and bread to the eater. So there is this first, what we call heaven, right? There's the clouds, the air. How many of you have ever flown on an airplane? Right? I flew in a Cessna one time. My father-in-law had a private pilot's license, and he said, hey, let's go up, and I'll take you up in the Cessna. I've only ever flown on a big jumbo jet up until that point. And I want you to know that when you fly on a Cessna, you have to make sure you're right with Jesus. Someone been there, right? And you get going down, and you take off, and that little thing goes, I confessed everyone's sin that I knew. My sin. I said, are you in sin? Because this has to be right, man. And what was so awesome about that flight was, he's like, hey, look at that cloud over there. He's like, let's go to it. And I said, can we do that? He's like, yeah, man, that's what's awesome about this. And we just flew. And it was the first time in my mind, although I had flown hundreds of times before that, it was the first time when I actually looked around and I said, wow, we're in heaven. It's a heaven. We're above the earth and we're flying. It was an amazing thing. So there's this first heaven that the Bible talks about, all right? Second heaven, the planetary heaven. The planetary heaven, all right? And you guys are smart and you know what we're talking about. This is the heaven that's above the air, okay? This is where the stars and the planets are. This is where God placed two, all right, two great lights to rule the earth. The sun and the what? The moon, all right? In Genesis 1:14, let's just go to God's Word right out of the gate. Bam, first book of the Bible. And God said, let there be what? Light in the firmament of the heaven, second heaven, okay, to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. We just set the clocks back, right? How many of you like setting the clocks back? How many of you like, just leave it alone, man? Right, right. Why do we do that? Genesis 1:14, because whoever decided this is what they were going to do, sun comes up, moon, we get it, that's the purpose, all right? Notice, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. What does it say? It was so. It was so. You've got your planets, your stars, you've got galaxies, millions and millions and millions of galaxies all over the place. Right? This is the planetary. It's when you go up at night. My two boys and I, we had, spend some time together the other night. We were outside on the back porch talking, and we were kind of sitting under the porch, and my oldest son stepped out from under the porch. He's like, Dad, you got to see this. And I said, what? He goes, come here. And we looked up. It was just a beautiful, gorgeous, clear blue Florida night. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it was like you could just see for eternity. And you could just see those stars up there. And I was just thinking to myself, every one of them giving glory to God. Every one of them just screaming, there's a God! There's a God! And He created me. And then there's the first heaven, the air and the clouds. We have the second heaven, which is the planets and the stars. All right, and then we have this third heaven. All right, this is the third heaven. We call this the celestial heaven. This is the heaven that Paul was referring to. All right, let's go back to the text. This is what Paul was talking about when he says there was a third heaven. And he used that word with purpose and intent under the inspiration of the Spirit. There was a third heaven. And he said, this is where I prematurely got a glimpse, a gaze, if you will, into something that was to come. This isn't uncommon. God often did this with many of His saints. Even Jesus did it when He took the three guys, Peter, James, and John, to the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember that? Peter was all excited. He's like, it's good for us to be here. Captain Obvious, right? He's like, this is a great place, Lord. Really, you think? Yeah. And He's like, let's build three tabernacles. Let's just stay here. And He's like, no, I'm just giving you a foretaste, okay? Remember, God took Moses up to the mountain. He said, check it out. Look, here's what's coming, okay? So this is not uncommon for God to do something like this. All right, we learned last week, Enoch walked with God, and he was not for God what? God's like, let's go, Enoch, you're coming with me. This was in Jude on Wednesday night. Sorry, some of you were looking at me puzzled. That's because you're not here Wednesday night. Just thought I'd share that with you, all right? This was the heaven Paul was talking about. He was permitted by God. He gets up to heaven. Now, this is the thing that's so awesome about this to me. He gets up there. He even says, I don't know how long, I don't know what it looked like. He just is so cautious in his writing of how he talks about it. He's so careful. And in verse 4, he says this in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, I saw things I couldn't even speak of. I couldn't even describe. I was so, if I was to put them on paper, you just couldn't grasp it. And here's the thing about it. We only know of a few men who went to heaven and returned. Now listen carefully. Every single one of the guys who did, when they came back, there was one common thread about their life. They were speechless. They didn't author a book. They didn't write 12 chapters on what I saw and what it looked like. One guy got a glimpse. John, he was on his face, writing, trying to describe it. And he couldn't describe it. Paul goes and he comes back. He says, I can't even talk about it. But if you could see a glimpse of what I saw, your light afflictions are just for a moment. If anybody could have wrote a book, Paul, right? If anybody could have wrote a book, Paul could have wrote a book. Now, this third heaven is mentioned in Scripture and other places. It is the heaven of heavens. It is the very dwelling place of God. It is where we are headed as believers when we die. Psalm 33, verses 13 and 14 says, the Lord looketh from where, church? This is the third heaven. He's looking from there. He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of His, notice this word in the Hebrew, this habitation, the dwelling place of God. This is where He dwells. He looketh upon all the what? Inhabitants of the earth. So just in your mind, visualize mentally right now, God's watching us. So when you're off doing your sin, yeah? You're not like the little three-year-old with the cover over his head. You can't see me. No, okay? So like God sees it, say amen. Turn to your neighbor and says, He saw you this week, man. He saw you this week. He sees us. He's in His habitation. Nothing's escaping His eye. Nothing. He sees it. He's in His habitation. He's looking down onto men. Psalm 102, verse 19. For He hath looked down from the height, okay, the Hebrew word here, height, super high, higher than the heavens' height, okay? I think the Hebrew word is like Shemiah or something like that. I probably just butchered that. All of you Hebrew scholars, please forgive me, all right? He looketh down from the height of His sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord what? You get the third heaven picture? Height, heaven, earth. It's a beautiful picture. And then in Matthew 7:11, Jesus says this, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? So where's our Heavenly Father? Heaven. In heaven. Jesus over and over again, all through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he drove the point home that God dwells in the heaven. The heaven of heavens, the heavenlies, the celestial heaven. And he reminded his men and people that this is where God is. And yet, what's so amazing about this is that God does dwell in the heaven, and here's the beautiful thing, yet the heavens cannot contain him. Why? Because God is omnipotent. Amen? He is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere at all times, and yet the heaven is his home. And you're like, I can't get that. Join the club. You know, I want to say this, and I think you need to see it in light of the way I'm going to say it. I don't want a God that I can figure out and understand. I want a God that is so far beyond me, that blows my mind, and that amazes me and astounds me. I don't want some fat God that sits as a statue and I go throw fruit to and pray to. Amen? I don't want to read some book that's been around for years where it never tells me that God loves me. I want a God who's faithful, like we were singing about. Amen? Who loves me, who gives me grace, and is merciful and tender. I want a God who's everything I am not. Amen? You know, we don't have to struggle too much at that whole containment thing. Because if I said to you, where do you live? What would you tell me? So would I say, if I go to your house, would I expect to find you there? Well, not right now. Right? So if I said to you, well, I went to your house and you weren't home. But you told me you live here. Yeah, well, I live here, but that doesn't mean I'm always what? I'm not always home, but that's my home. You guys get that? Some of you are like, we need to move on, all right? I'm home, but I'm not home. I'm here, but I'm home. Right, right? It's like your address. This is where God resides. Heaven is a place not only where God dwells, but it's the place where Jesus came from. I love the old hymn that says, he left his Father's throne above, so free he came. In fact, we're singing that song tonight. I was irritated with Pastor Chad. I love him, but he irritated me this week. He picked one of my favorite hymns, And Can It Be? And we're singing it tonight. And I'm going to be in discipleship class, so it might be God's will that I come in here and just sing that song and then go to discipleship class, all of those who are participating in that. John 6:38, Jesus says to his disciples, for I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that what? Now go to John chapter 14, would you? Jesus is moments away from the cross. And he says some very insightful things to us and to his disciples. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in what? Now pay attention carefully, church. In my Father's house are many mansions. Your Bible might say dwelling place, resting place, rooms. Fine. I like mansions. That's just me. If it were not so, I would have told you. Period. End of thought. New thought, new statement, new sentence. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, let's say it together, there ye may be also. Write this down. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. This is what Paul was reminding the Corinthian church, that heaven is our resting place and we will reside there. And Jesus used his words here in John to calm and assure his men. Jesus said, okay, I'm leaving. And they're like, what do you mean you're leaving? Jesus, why would you leave? Don't leave now. We're just figuring this whole thing out. And Jesus, no, I have to go. I don't want you to go. I'm going. And they were nervous and they were anxious. The Bible uses the word troubled. You know what word means? They were terrified. Their leader, the one they had given their lives for, sold their business, walked away from everything, and looked like fools to the world, is now leaving? What are you talking about? And Jesus says, don't worry about the future. You believe in God? Believe in me? Their hearts had gotten like the Corinthian believers, and they needed to be reminded that as a believer, God has already prepared a place for us. And we rest in this. You see, heaven is not just a mindset, knowledge, and education. Yeah, I know I die when I'm going to heaven. Great. No. Number two, heaven is an attitude of the heart. It's not just cultivating a thinking. It's the attitude of our heart, what we're longing for, what we're groaning for, what we read about, where Paul caught this glimpse. Please know this, church, that when we dwell on heaven, our hearts are changed. You see, we think with the mind, but we feel with the heart. Heaven is a prepared place. Jesus said this. Look at the text carefully. In my Father's house, currently, right this moment, now, in the Greek, right this second, are many what? Dwelling rooms, places of rest. That's already there. It's ready. It's done. People think, man, Jesus is up in heaven just knocking out my mansion. No. He created the earth in like 6 days, man. Okay? Yeah, just think how marvelous heaven is. Forget that. All right? Heaven's done. Jesus said, if it wasn't, I would have told you. What he's saying is there's something far better than anything you've ever seen or experienced here. And it's in my Father's house, and there's a place prepared for you. It's done. But then Jesus says, but I'm going. And he doesn't say, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. He says, I prepare a what? A place. And that changes the dynamic of heaven. Jesus is saying, heaven's prepared for you. But you can't go to heaven until I go to my place on the cross. And the place that I'm preparing for you is the place of my death and my burial and my resurrection. And Jesus was saying, I'm going to my place on the cross temporarily so you can have a place for all of eternity with the Father. My place is no longer here, guys. My place is the cross. And if I don't go, you don't go. That's why they said, Jesus, tell us, show us the way. Jesus says, the way I'm going, you can't go. You guys get that? You see, the promise of heaven is made possible because of Christ's obedience. Because of what Jesus did, because he said, I'll go, Dad. I'll make a way possible. I'll prepare the place. Because you've prepared the mansion, I'll prepare the place. You see, that's why the only way you are prepared for heaven and can get to the Father is because of Jesus. Down in verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father, what? But by me. Peter, James, John, Thomas, Philip. You can't go the way I'm going. But if I go, I will come again and what? Receive you unto myself, that where I now am, look at the text, that where I now am, there you may be also. You guys see that in the Bible? You can't join me on the cross. But you can join me in heaven for all of eternity. Amen? Someone ought to shout amen right now. Okay? You see, to be in heaven is to not only find ourselves in a special place prepared for us, it's to be in the presence of the Savior. Jesus said, I will come again. I will come again. Have you guys ever noticed that what makes something really special is normally twofold? The first is the place. You go somewhere and you go to a place, whether it's to a restaurant, whether it's to a vacation spot, whether it's to somebody's house. There's something special about the place. But the second side of this is that it isn't just the place, it's the people. When I went back to England back in August, it was special to me for sure, for a lot of reasons. I saw a lot of places I had seen before, been to before. But then I went to the church building. I think we have a picture of that. This was the church where I first met my beautiful wife. It's the church I was baptized in. It's the church my parents were baptized in. It's the church where God began to do a work in my heart. Now, adjacent to that are three other buildings that we built. But when I think of church in England, I think of that. I don't think of the new buildings that we built. I think of the old building. And it's burned into my memory. New Testament Baptist Church in Kenny Hill on Littleport Road. And there was something special about this trip as I walked back and I walked into the building and I walked into the buildings that were there. And it wasn't just the fact that there was a building there that was special to me. That building can't love me back. You guys understand that, right? Like your car that you love and make payments on, it doesn't love you back. You know, your house doesn't love you back, all right? You might love your house, you might love your car, all right? But it doesn't love you back. It's an inanimate object. It can't do that. That building can't love me back. But when I think about that building, there's a fondness and a love in my heart for that place. But what made it precious to me was when I walked into the building and I saw the people. And we were together. I think about our own church and what this place used to look like before we got it. Somebody came and they walked through the back doors and they had seen this place before and they came in and they said, "What did you do?" I said, "I didn't do anything. God did." And I love to come in here and I love to walk in the auditorium and pray, and I love to meet with our pastoral staff in what we lovingly call the upper room and pray together. And I love to walk down the hall and I walk around the property and I don't know. I haven't gotten over it yet. I don't really want to. Some of you are like, move on. I can't. But something happens on a Sunday morning when you guys all show up. And you guys all come in here. And we start singing, and we start praising, and we start worshiping, and God's word starts being preached, and God begins to change our hearts. This building, although it's a special place, turns into a worship center. Why? Because God's people are here. It isn't just the building. It's the people in the building that make it special. But now here's the thing, church. Isn't it all the more better that the whole purpose and reason we're coming is because God is here? And we crave the presence of Jesus. You say, well, Jesus is always with us. Yes, Jesus is always with us. Don't be confused. But we want Him to manifest His presence in a real way, don't we? That happens as we worship, as we engage Him, as we sense His working in our heart, as we feel Him in our heart, as we know Him in our mind, and we sense the conviction, we sense the change, we begin to sing, and all of a sudden, this whole building is just filled with the praises of our God. You see, heaven is a very special place, not only because it's been prepared by God, but because the very presence of Christ will be there. We're going to see Jesus. We sense Him here. We feel Him here. We know He's here. But one day, face to face, as the song says, we shall behold Him. Amen? You see, the promise of heaven becomes your reality. The moment you accept Christ, and the moment you repent of your sin, and the moment you place your faith and trust in Christ. And I want you to know something. This very special place is prepared for you. But the question is, are you prepared to go? Can I let you in on a little secret? Reservations are still being accepted.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.